Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hope everybody's doing well today. I want to welcome everybody to the Unimpressed podcast. And I'm unimpressed that I didn't meet this guy while I was in New Jersey. Just recently moved from North Colwell, New Jersey. Mr. Rob Ferretti, car entrepreneur. Welcome to the show, Rob. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
So what's going on in your world? I mean, I know Jersey's got a few little issues up there right now. Me just leaving there. Has anything gotten better than the past 6 months?
You know, it's funny. I was just my travel company that I have, it's called Adventure Drives. We were just out doing a private birthday party in Vegas for one of our wealthier customers. And he did a week-long birthday party that went through Nevada, Utah, Arizona, and then back into Nevada, into Vegas. And Utah and Arizona were like mask, like, yeah, just if you're not feeling well, don't come in. But like masks are not a thing out there, which coming back to New Jersey, and it feels normal. Like you'd think it would take you weeks to get used to not wearing a mask. It takes you about 30 minutes. Yeah. And like I was leaving my hotel room all day without even having a mask in my pocket or the car. And coming back to New Jersey after that, like, hey, why is everybody so paranoid? And then like even people that started the trip that came out that were like super paranoid are now like as soon as they walk out of the Newark airport, they rip their mask off and they're standing in the crowd of people on the curb waiting to get in the car. So that's probably one of the biggest things that we're still a little bit, I don't want to say behind, but it feels a lot more normal out west than it does here.
Well, that's kind of how it feels down here in Charleston. I mean, we'll go out, and what's interesting is obviously when you walk into a restaurant, you have to wear the mask walking into the restaurant. Correct. But when you get to the bar, you can take the mask off.
Or when you're sitting down, you're good. When you're standing up, you're not good. And I did the same thing at the airport. They're like, all right, we got a social distance. You got to be 6 feet away from everybody getting on the plane. But then when you're on the plane, you're 30 inches away from everybody. So what's the point if I'm going to be sitting next to these people at like elbow distance for the next 6 hours? What the hell does it matter if I'm standing 6 feet away from them or not on the jet bridge?
I don't want to say too many bad things. I'm not going to say too many bad things about New Jersey. I love New Jersey. I had a great...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Great, great time there. But one thing that did you start thinking about, all the reason that I was in New Jersey, 20 miles from Midtown, right? I think our driveway was 20 miles from Midtown, and is doing the things that makes New York, New York.
Sure.
You know, and you really can't do all those things now. Do you think that's going to come back in New York?
I do. And when you say things that are making New York, New York, you mean like throwing a wet diaper at somebody's car or?
No, I'm just saying, you know, you go in, you smell the air, you go in, you go eat a nice dinner, you know, you walk the streets.
That's happening now. Like there's indoor dining, and especially in the suburbs, there's indoor dining that it's supposed to be at 30-50%, whatever it is you walk in, and these places are as they were pre-pandemic.
Oh, okay. And gotcha.
So like it's there once you're in a restaurant, I think we're separating the people that give a damn and the people that don't. And the people that are going out to eat are the people that don't give a damn. They're happy to go inside if they want to sit outside in a tent. they can. Otherwise, the people that are inside are just like, all right, I'm over it. Let's do it. And they're welcoming the risks. And if they feel good, they go out. If they don't feel good, they're a little bit more conscious about it and they stay home.
Now, is there a reason with your business? Are you from New Jersey originally?
I grew up in New Jersey. Yep.
Okay. What town did you grow up in?
I was born in Hackensack Hospital, grew up in Dumont, New Jersey.
Dumont, New Jersey.
It's
okay.
Burton County. So it's about it's 20 minutes from Caldwell.
Okay. Nice. Nice.
Right off of Route 4. So the Paramus area, in between Paramus and the bridge.
So you're from New Jersey and you went to college?
I did. I went to Gettysburg College in Pennsylvania for a little bit, then Ramapo in North Jersey up in Mahwah. And then I dropped out because it seemed like a good idea.
Well, I believe in today's time, it's about people. You don't finish the school thing and you head down this road of life. What pushed you in this direction with what you're doing now?
I mean, essentially, I didn't want to work for anybody. That's sort of what I learned. And I went to school, I was going pre-law. And then I decided that I didn't want to be a lawyer because I don't like lawyers. And I don't like the fact that you have to sort of defend people that are guilty. And that sucks. And as a lawyer, your job is to make them unguilty. And I'm like, well, what if they are guilty? And I'm like, I just don't want to be a part of this system. So I decided that I would just go the path of like, all right, let me just figure it out. Let me enjoy my early 20s, figure out how to make some money and have a good time. And I turned that into businesses. I started making street racing DVDs when I was younger, just because I saw a little bit of a market. There wasn't much out there, but I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I'd go street racing with my buddies, start filming it, throw a couple of clips up on the internet. And then I'm like, oh, wow, like people are really responding to these things. Look at all the people that are viewing them. And this is back before there was like a central hosting site like YouTube. So you just have to find a buddy who's got access to a server, throw it on some company server, and then they get like a $3,000 traffic spike in a couple of hours. And he's like, oh, dude, I had to pull your video down. Then I'm like, well, if it could cost people money, I could probably make money doing it. I went back to college just to take one basic editing class to see what I could turn that into. I made a DVD. I went to the New York Auto Show, took out a booth, sold it, made like 30 grand in a week. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. And because at that age, I mean, you're working all year to make 30 grand. So now if I can do it in 10 days, I'm like, all right, let me do this. Even if I do this five times a year, it's incrementally better than what I'm doing now. And you know, that doesn't last forever, but you ride that wave. And I rode that wave for probably about 7 years, made a bunch of DVDs. YouTube came along, but nobody was monetizing anything, but I would use YouTube to drive traffic to buy DVDs. While I was making DVDs, I could go make a DVD and like part time and a couple of months of editing that gave me a lot of free time. I met a buddy who was, I met a guy at a Ferrari event at some dude's house who said he wanted to start an exotic car rental company. I was like, that's a terrible idea. You're going to give a Ferrari to a random dude who's got $1,000 in his pocket. I'm like, you'll be out of business in a week. And I'm a good problem solver. So once he started the company, we linked up because one of his first customers whacked up the car. He's like, oh, problem is it's going to be down for like 3 weeks and it can only go to this Ferrari facility. It's 15 grand. And I'm like, dude, that dent in your fender is 15 grand. Come on, come over here. So I brought him to a body shop. He's like, yeah, I'll have it done in 3 days and it'll be whatever, $1,500. And he's like, all right, you're coming with me. So me being the problem solver car guy and him being sort of a businessman who went to MIT, we went tit for tat. We worked very well together and we made quite the large business. And come 2015, so I was doing the rental company and growing the rental company and the DVD series / YouTube at the same time. Come 2015, we sold the rental company. And that's when I started up the travel company, which is Adventure Drive. So I was like, all right, well, if I'm going to sort of retire here, let's do something fun. Now I get to travel the world and write it off effectively. And part of the end of the DVD series, instead of street racing all the time, we would just go like drive the Alps and travel to Europe and do the Nürburgring and rip down the Autobahn and like do all these amazing things. And I'm like, this is a lot of fun. Like I could do this forever. And the fact that we're having fun doing it and I'm good at logistics, I can turn this into a company, and whether it makes a ton of money or if it's just a hell of a good time, I'll enjoy it. And we did that, and that turned into a company as well. And I'm still doing the rentals. I'm doing all three, and now we're doing private events for some of our big customers, which led me to Las Vegas last week to have a phenomenal, probably one of the better birthday party that's ever taken place. I can't imagine it, because that was a hell of a week. There was no shortage of adrenaline and fun, and shooting guns out of helicopters, shooting tanks, like. I mean, mean, you name it, we did it. We flew helicopters into the Grand Canyon for lunch. We've go-karted. We raced cars on racetracks. We did painting classes, whiskey tastings. I mean, you name it, we did it, and we had a phenomenal time.
And what type of guy throws a birthday party like that?
Wealthy guys. Now, there's two types of wealthy guys. The ostentatious wealthy guy that wants to go to a club and spend $1 million on bottle service. And then there's the smarter wealthy guy that doesn't need gold foil on top of his caviar. And we can just go out and have a great time. And the money goes much further. So we invited his close friends and we rented like $2 million worth of sports cars. And we just had a grand old good time.
Let me ask you this. When was that era of DVDs? Is very interesting to me because I was doing a similar thing with action sports because that was a big boom, right? When those DVDs came out.
06, 07, 08, yep. Big years. After that, it started. Now you started looking at Blu-ray and HD DVD, and they were duking it out for who was going to reign supreme there. And then that's when YouTube started blowing up too. And the big change that YouTube created was that people now wanted not the quality content, but they wanted it on demand. So if something happens, they want to see it same day. They don't want to see it in like 3 months. Oh, was that event? Like, I don't want to wait 3 months for the coverage. I want it right now. And I started seeing that with the DVDs that people were becoming less patient that I would make a DVD, release it after a year. And then everyone's like, great, where's the next one? I'm like, what are you talking about this? I was about to take a week off and not do anything for a week. And you're telling me where's the next one? So I guess it's good that there's a demand there, but the internet has created the insatiable appetite for real time entertainment.
Well, that's kind of what happened to us is we were doing these one-offs for Red Bull.
Yep.
Before Red Bull was Red Bull. This was back in the day. We were the head production company for Red Bull in 04. Used to work with Dane Herron on the motorcycle side.
Okay.
Motocross. And they'd pay us to, you know, we did Baja Diaries. We did the Enduro at Erzberg. And all they wanted was to be aired, you know, that one-off on, you know, NBC or whatever. So as long as they got the TV slot after the show aired, they said, you can have the footage. And we got the athletes for free. Put Travis Pastrana on television when he was outside of the X Games, when he was 18 in the first Enduro at Erzberg. We sold him through Impact Video, which was kind of the go-to for action sports. And I think they were in Carlsbad. I think it was Tracy Andrews was in Carlsbad, California. And those DVDs sold like crazy. It was like free money.
Sure.
And that was from 04 to 08, I think. And then what you're talking about, that's when the revolution of technology and everything started taking hold. And I remember that when they posted up in the peninsula in Beverly Hills, YouTube did, and just started interviewing celebrities. That's how they started. They put $100 million. They put $100 million behind that project, and here you go today. They're huge.
Yep.
So that was a very, very interesting time. But going back to the birthday and the cars, is there a lot of liability in those types of cars and, you know, that kind of stress you out a little bit when you have some of these cars on the road?
No more so than anything else. Everybody's got their car insurance. I mean, there's no liability from a manufacturer standpoint about producing a car like that. So, I mean, there's always liability because somebody will sue anybody whenever anything goes wrong. But at the end of the day, I mean, everybody's got insurance that was out there, everyone's license that was out there, and we all had a good time.
And now, as far as your business goes, how do you market business like this? Is it like marketing in a, you know, a private jet company or?
Yes, it is, but it's also a lot of word of mouth too. A lot of people are like, whoa, that was all like, I had to greatest time ever doing this thing. And next thing you know, like three of his buddies are coming in the next one. So it was a starting at small thing. We've tried the Google ads and everything like that. But at the end of the day, to convince somebody to spend between $5,000 and $15,000 on a week's vacation driving their car is no easy task. But the guy that is willing to do that and has the money to do that will be all over it as soon as he hears that it's awesome. So word of mouth has been a big way for us to grow the business. Our repeat customer base. I mean, we're a once in a lifetime trip that these guys are doing two or three times a year. Just the repeat business is phenomenal. And we're like every customer we get doesn't do one trip. They probably do four or five trips.
Where else have you been besides, you know, out west?
I mean, we've been out west. We've been Pacific Northwest. We've done Charleston to Miami was one we've done. We were doing DC to Nashville again in April. We've done Iceland. We've done Italy. We've done Germany. We've done Austria, Switzerland. We've done France. We're going back to France and Spain this time in August, over to Scotland in October, back to Iceland in February. So, I mean, we're all over the world. Like, if there's good, fun places to be and it's within a reasonable flight of the continental U.S., that's on our radar.
So from an organizational standpoint, right, you putting together one of these parties, events, whatever you want to call it. How do you start? What's your first step? And, you know, how do you plan that?
I mean, we plan the route. First off, we stitch the route together that makes a lot of sense, because we don't do gumball-esque driving where you're doing 1,000 miles of driving in a day. We like to get to places where no stickers on the car or anything like that. So we get to places without getting pulled over. We go to these places. We enjoy the place. We enjoy the location and the destination. Instead of just like going, snapping your selfie and bouncing out, we actually go, like, if we get to the Grand Canyon, we'll take helicopters down into the base of it and drink champagne and hang out there for an hour. We won't just go and be like, all right, West Rim, take a picture. All right, we're out of here. We got to get to the hotel before 1 a.m. so we can get to the nightclub tonight and party till 7, then wake up at 8 and do it all over again. We don't do any of that. So
is this somewhat of a creative experience from you, right? I mean, if you're a film guy, yeah, Start making DVDs, you're a little bit of creative, like kind of painting your picture.
It is. Most of it is, I do all the logistics. So it's a lot of an expression of things that I like and I enjoy. And luckily, other people enjoy stuff that I enjoy. And it's not I get bored very easily. So going to the world's largest rocking chair in Kansas isn't memorable to me. It's not something where we're going to go and spend some time. But virtually every day on Adventure Drives, we do something that people would travel from around the world to do, whether that's like drinking moonshine in Tennessee or going to the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, or I mean, there's you name it. There's areas of the country driving Tail of the Dragon. I mean, does that road rival the Furka and Grimsel Pass in Switzerland? No, not at all. But is it something that people regionally and even all across the country talk about as a fabled road that you have to drive? Yes. So we throw it on the list. Staying at the Greenbrier in West Virginia, or going around DC, staying at the Mandarin Oriental, who's one of our hotel partners. We have a whiskey sponsor. Whistle Pig sponsors us for the events. We were up at the Whistle Pig Distillery up in the Northeast in the fall drive. Went to Cliff House in Maine, which is a phenomenal property right on the coast of Maine. And all of this stuff is like really memorable, really upscale. Everything's included. It just makes for a very, very relaxing experience. I mean, going over to Europe, a lot of people are concerned about the language barrier. We make it so seamless that you're checked in your room, your luggage is in your room, you show up, you don't have to go wait in line at the hotel. Everything just works very, very seamlessly to make a nice luxury experience where people don't feel uncomfortable in any way, shape, or form. They just feel like they belong there and they don't have to think, and they could just throw their feet up and enjoy themselves.
Well, it's kind of like you're a celebrity going to do a show at a casino.
Essentially, yes. It's funny because a lot of people come on the trips because I put the ads for the trips at the end of my videos. So a lot of the people are coming on the trips because of me and they want to hang out with me. So that from an organizational standpoint is we had to cross something with my other business partner and my staff is like, you can't expect Rob to do as much as you would want as an employee because Rob has to go entertain everybody. So I'm there having drinks with everybody and going and doing fun stuff where they're behind the scenes working and doing everything that I'm about to take credit for.
Now, how do you handle the drinking?
Usually one glass in each hand.
Because anymore, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I drink the mezcal, whatever. But sometimes if I get past that fourth drink, that fifth drink, my head is not 100% the next day.
I don't drink that much. I drink good stuff and I drink in moderation. So I can drink every night. Three drinks, I would say, is my max. Three drinks, nice. I feel like I'll like not room spinning, but three drinks is enough for me to go to bed and like pass out.
And be and wake up tomorrow and function.
Yeah. And yeah, wake up in the morning and function perfectly fine. Two drinks, I can go read a book before bed. So
now family, married, yep. Kids?
Married, two kids. Yep.
How old are your kids?
They're going to be 9 and 5 in a month.
Nice. And so, how have they been through the pandemic? I know with New Jersey being a little.
Yeah, he's been in school since October. So that's good. A couple of like, all right, somebody got sick in the class and now you're home for 10 days. But other than that, it's been pretty seamless.
And what kind of car do you drive?
The car that I normally drive, we just shipped out to Vegas for this dude's birthday and shot it up. So that now I got to find a new one.
Oh, okay.
I was driving like just $1,000 Mercedes every day. I bought it 4 years ago from a friend who bumped into something that the insurance said, this is $1,100 to buy it. I'm like, one owner, 150,000 miles, throw it this way. I'll drive that thing every day. Yeah. 4 years later, it met its fate in Vegas.
You are a real car guy then.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that makes me a real car guy. I'm a lot of car people like to wear their car as a extension of themselves or as an accessory to make other people think they're cool. I don't need that and I don't care. So like I've got a lot of fun cars, Ferraris, Corvettes, Supras, NSX. I've had a GT3. I've got all my rental cars, which are like Ferrari, Lamborghini, Bentley, Maserati, McLaren. But I don't drive those every day. Like if there's a reason to drive it, I'll absolutely take it. But otherwise, I'm not like pulling up to the valet at dinner so they think I'm cool. I'll pull up in the $1,000 car and then go have my dinner. Like I'll own a Ferrari and I'll put 5,000 miles a year on it in 3 weeks of driving. I'll go literally ship it to Denver, put 2,000 miles on it in a week and park it for the next 3 months. Uh-huh. So I'm more into where I'm driving and the right tool for the right job than I am driving around so everybody sees me getting groceries in a Ferrari and be like, who's that guy? That's so cool. I don't aspire for that. I don't really do the designer clothes or anything along those lines. I just about to enjoy myself.
Well, have you ever heard of 221 in North Carolina?
221, isn't that 218 is Tale of the Dragon, isn't it?
That I'm not sure about 218, but 221 Asheville Lake Lure.
Okay, yeah. So that's all in the same sort of area.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we have a house on Lake Lure, and I was always told that 221 was one of the top 10 driving roads in America. Is that still the case?
I mean, they said the Blue Ridge Parkway. I mean, everybody loves to brag about like their local road as being one of the top roads to drive. They say the drive, and I don't know, have you been to Florida down the one going down to Key West?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all right, but it's like I can't think of that as like a must drive road. Mm-hmm. And they've got that as one of the top drives in the country. And I was like, that's pretty boring. Even the PCH going from like Malibu up to Napa or up to San Francisco, I don't think is that phenomenal. Uh-huh. A lot of it is inland a little bit, so you don't even see the ocean. You get little speckles of greatness, but it's not really the best road to drive. It takes like 8 hours to drive the damn thing.
And you got the Catskills by you. You ever done any
I've been through all these places, and yeah, you get a little bit of nice road. But once you've experienced like proper roads, and I'm talking about like remote roads, not cars coming in every direction, outside of Yosemite in California, there's a road called, I think it's like Brennan Pass or something like that. And you come into that from Nevada, and that's probably one of the best roads in the country that nobody knows about. But it's just, I mean, there's elevation changes, there's the little dippity-doos in the road, and then there's the banking, and you got the mountains all around you, and it just nobody's around. And it's a great time leading into Mammoth, and it connects you right over to Mammoth, which is a big ski area, and you're coming in from the east. So like that's a great road and nobody knows about it, but it's people love to brag about the well-known ones or the ones that are cool. Northern Italy's Stelvio Pass was on Top Gear. So everyone talks about Stelvio Pass. It's like one of the worst mountain passes to drive in the Alps. It's dramatic to look at in a photo, but like Furka, Grimsel, Susten Pass, all much better roads to drive, and there's never anyone there.
Well, you were somewhat on the edge with content with your business. So now we're looking at today, 2021. Do you see anything you're changing due to technology getting better? What does that look like the next 6 months, year for year?
I mean, I'm just moving over to more high-end content. I mean, as I've been saying, I've been doing this for a while. So, I mean, when you're doing it for 20 years, you can only get kicked in the nuts so many times as you age because the shtick gets old. I mean, you can't, like, just doing a burnout is great, but it was great back in 2001, 2003, 2004. But fast forward 20 years, if this guy's just doing burnouts every other day, all you're doing is wasting tires and doing the same thing over and over again. So I just launched a show called Sorted. It was myself, Matt Farah, Amelia Hartford, and then Tanner Faust, who was one of the Top Gear hosts and a professional race car driver back in the day. And that's a great show. And then we're moving more into that. The Netflix quality content, on YouTube. And who knows, maybe we'll put it on Netflix or resell it or rebrand it for airplane use or whatever we end up doing. But it's proper good TV show built for YouTube.
How much content do you have recent, the past 5 years?
I mean, in the past 5 years, I probably do about 75 videos a year, maybe 100. So, but I'm not the daily vlogger. There's guys that'll do 2-3 videos a day and have thousands of videos. I've got maybe 800, 900 videos on YouTube since 2006.
Have you ever done anything on Facebook?
No, I'm just about to kick up my Facebook, Instagram TV, Snapchat, and TikTok. I just had one of my fans wanted to launch a TikTok for me. And then like in 6 videos, I got like 3 million views in like a couple of days. So I was like, all right, we can do something with this. Yeah. So I've got somebody managing all those platforms that I'm not using to recycle the content and monetize further.
Well, if you want to look at something we do, I mean, we have a big social platform. We have about 40 million people. We have one of the biggest platforms, I guess, in the world on Facebook. And we just partnered with Facebook.
Okay.
Because Facebook's going to an MCN model.
Sure.
And we're one of 35 companies in the world to do that. So maybe we should talk about some content which could run it through our network, because there's some definitely money to be made there.
Yeah. And then what I did was I just signed with a company and they're going to be doing, and what they do is they go to people with big followings and then they monetize the platform, because nobody wants to do all the platforms, right? That's a full-time job in itself. So now they're going to guys with the big content providers and saying, we're going to multiply all your other channels that you're not even using. I don't care about Instagram TV. I don't care about Facebook. I don't care about Snapchat or TikTok. I've never done either of them, but they're going to do it and they're going to make some money. And then they keep a percentage, obviously, and give me the rest. So for me, it's all free money. And for them, it's free money or free content for which they can make money. And they know what they're doing there. And I just really have zero interest in getting involved in it.
Well, how long are you locked into that deal?
3 years. If they do what they say they're going to do, it's 3 years.
Oh, okay. Well, if that don't work out, keep us in mind.
I will. Absolutely.
I mean, that's what we do. We have multiple pages and we have the original content for the actual person on the page. And then we have time slots where we fill in and then we cross post through the 40 million or whatever. And with this thing, potentially we can end up having about 10,000 creators under our belt.
Okay.
So then you're looking at a pretty massive reach. Only, you know, whatever that number could be.
These guys did it right. They didn't make any promises. They tested out. They took some of my videos to test out, and they took like a successful video, like a middle of the road video, and then a video that flopped. And then they put it up on a new channel, and they look at the metrics and see what the response is. And based off of that, they decide whether to A, like work with you, or work with you and guarantee something, or not work with you at all. And they had a really good response for my stuff. So they both offered to work with me and then made me a guarantee. So
okay, nice.
So the fact that they were able to guarantee the amount of money that they guaranteed me, and they're advancing me a good chunk of it up front, means that there's probably a lot of money for them to make as well. That means their response must have been pretty solid.
Rob Ferretti, if y'all want to check him out, it's GothamDreamCars.com. He's kind of like the car entrepreneur, fantasy parties. I don't know. You want to fill that in? Tell me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm the luxury road trip guy. You have a car, then come on a luxury road trip. I mean, we do these bucket list trips and you get to see the world with a bunch of great people. If you don't have a car, come rent one. I've got an exotic car rental company and we rent out exotic cars to you. If you want to live that life for a day or a week or a weekend, we do that. We do something called the Dream Car Tour, where you get to sample 6 different cars in one morning. We do that throughout April through October in the Northeast. And if you don't have the money to do any of those, you just want to follow along and watch everything happen and learn a little bit about business and a little bit about life and watch us horse around in cars, you can check out my YouTube channel. That's Super Speeders Rob on YouTube. Definitely check out the series Sorted. You're going to enjoy that. That was brought to you by Auto Tempest, among others. But that's a great time and a great collaboration between a bunch of big names in the automotive industry, and it made for some pretty epic content.
Well, Rob, I appreciate you coming on the show. He has a very, very unique business, so go check him out. And yeah, if I'm in New Jersey, back in New Jersey, I'll look you up. Maybe we'll go have a drink.
All right, sounds good. I've got it here.
All right, man. I'm John Edmonds Cosma, the CEO of Bang Productions.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.